just as the weather turns warmer and the days get longer, well, that's the time to grab a seat and sit in the dark for a few hours, or a bunch of hours if you're really serious about liking movies. And many of the attendees of the Ashland Independent Film Festival are indeed that serious. The festival runs April 3rd through 7th and features films both long and short, live and animated, fiction and documentary. There's something for everybody and lots to talk about with our guests. Anne Ashby is the executive director of the Ashland Independent Film Festival. Anne, welcome back to The Exchange.
Thanks for having us.
And Joanne Feinberg is the director of programming for the festival. Welcome, Joanne.
Thank you. Nice to see you.
What kinds of hours are you two working this time of year in the weeks leading up to the Ashland Independent Film Festival, Anne?
Well, I think it's fair to say that the staff is burning the midnight oil. They're there 7 days a week, pretty much, and long days, and it sort of doesn't stop leading up to the festival, and through the festival, in fact.
So, Joanne, how long ago did the lineup get settled? There are 97 films this year, is that right?
97 films, and we pretty much lock our schedule by the beginning of February. That's when we notify filmmakers, and the wheels start rolling, getting everything in place.
97 films, and of course, they range as short as 4 minutes, is it?
I think 4 minutes is about the shortest we have.
Okay, up to feature length.
Exactly.
So 97 films out of how many total are submitted?
Yeah, we had almost a record number this year. 985 films were submitted. We have a great team of screeners that watches all the films and helps us narrow them down to the official selections.
So that's somewhere around 890 films that you've watched and didn't choose for the Ashland Independent Film Festival.
That's right. A lot of wonderful films that don't get in. It's a lot of hard choices.
Is there a particular flavor or theme that you look for? Is there something that is becoming the thread of, like, this is an Ashland film that you try to look for when choosing?
I'm sure we're influenced in that way a little bit by our audience, but really we're looking for the best possible films that we see each year, and that's really our criteria.
And Anne Ashby, how big an undertaking is it? How big is the staff at the Ashland Independent Film Festival to try to pull all this together?
Well, we've got 6 people that are there in various capacities around the year, and then when we get to the festival, we bring on several others that help us in various roles to execute the festival. So our tiny office is great for us in the summer months, and then as we get closer and closer to the festival, it's pretty crowded and pretty loud in there.
There's a lot going
on. Lots of volunteers,
too. Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Hundreds of volunteers that help us put on this event. So that's quite an amazing undertaking.
So the festival organization is a nonprofit, is that right?
It is a nonprofit, yes.
Okay, so that's why you can use the volunteers. That explains that much.
Yeah.
That's a massive undertaking, 97 films out of 985 submitted. Let's start talking about some of the things that make this year's festival different from previous years, then.
Well, the programming really is the thing that changes year to year, and I'm going to let Joanne talk about that because that's really the specialness of this festival is the different guests and the different films and the things that we do in the periphery of that, like art shows and things like that, that showcase the artists that are coming to Ashland. So I'll let Joanne fill in if that's okay.
Yeah, we have a really exciting program, lots of special guests, and also an amazing number of filmmakers that want to come to Ashland. So lots of filmmakers will be here for the Q&As after their films, and that just really, I think, makes the whole festival experience so special, is having them here to interact with the audience. We have 3 special guests this year that we're really excited about. We're giving our Lifetime Achievement Award to Barbara Koppel, who's a 2-time Academy Award-winning documentarian. She's showing her newest film, which is Running from Crazy, about the Hemingway family, especially Mariel Hemingway and her journey to overcome her legacy with that family's history of mental illness. And she's showing her first film, the Academy Award-winning documentary Harlan County. So we're really excited about that, plus a conversation. It's called An Evening of Music and Conversation. And she's bringing 2 musicians that played, well, the father played with her on Harlan County, and they're now working on a new project. And they'll be playing music, talking about her films, talking about their new project. It should be really exciting.
How do you figure out putting together something like that? I mean, is it just some give and take between you and Barbara Koppel or your people and Barbara Koppel? Right. Never mind, you don't have people. You and Barbara Koppel's people.
Exactly, we don't. And Barbara doesn't either. She is an amazingly busy woman. She's working on so many projects at the same time. But she and I have been talking for many years, actually, about getting her to Ashland. She's someone I've just really have looked up to for many years as an amazing filmmaker. And yeah, we've been on the phone quite a bit talking about what films make most sense, what kind of program. You know, she does conversations like this at different festivals all over the world. And I just asked her, what would you like to do? And she was very excited about the music component. She directed Shut Up and Sing, about the Dixie Chicks, a film called Woodstock Now and Then. So music has been a really big part of her documentary film career. So we're focusing a little bit on that.
And Charlotte just informed me that we have Barbara Koppel confirmed as a guest on The Exchange.
Exactly.
We're excited
about that. We have a couple other guests on. I don't know if you want to take over for a minute.
Yeah, we got Barbara Koppel. Are there two other guests coming?
Yeah. So, well, I'd like to talk about Mark Monroe for a second, if that's okay. So Mark will receive our Rogue Award. We're going to give out two of those this year, so you'll hear about the other recipient of that in a second. But Mark is a writer for documentaries. So to me, this is sort of a fascinating piece. Ashland audiences would be familiar with some of his work because we've screened some of his films here and here. The Cove is one, and
Chasing Ice,
which won our audience award a couple of years ago. But he'll be here with a new film, Mission Blue, which is about saving the oceans, which is just going to be a wonderful film. I hope folks will come out and see that. And he'll also be leading a panel. We do the free talkbacks with filmmakers during the festival, and he'll be talking about this sort of misunderstood or not well recognized career of writing for documentaries. So we're thrilled that Mark's going to be here.
Excited.
I do wonder how somebody gets into that line of work, if he's been very clear about how he got into it, because it's kind of specialized. I mean, it's not like documentaries are as numerous as television channels and all that sort of thing. But any idea how he got into that line of work?
He has been in film for many years, I think, in editing and production. And, you know, you wear many hats as a documentary filmmaker because, like our festival, they're small crews. And I think, you know, it's just a niche that he got really good at. It's something that has been in a role in documentary films for many, many years, but not really recognized, as Anne said. So we're kind of trying to put that back in the spotlight.
All right, so Barbara Koppel, Mark Monroe, one of the Rogue Award winners coming to the Ashland Independent Film Festival this year. Who's the other Rogue Award winner?
We have someone from Ashland coming back. It's Ty Burrell, who went to school here at SOU. He grew up in Ashland and in the Rogue Valley and is one of the famous dads on TV now in Modern Family. We're really excited to have him coming to Ashland. He's going to do a conversation at the Armory with Miles Zanotta, who is a childhood friend and also a professor at SOU. They'll talk about childhood, his career getting into acting, what it's like now being on Modern Family, and
how
his
difficult
other
was
acting choices.
How difficult was it to get Ty? I know we've tried ourselves.
Have you?
Yes.
Well, we were fortunate. We know his mom really well. She's an amazing volunteer. I have to disclose that. We adore his mom, Sherry. And also, Ty was a juror for our festival right before he got the role on Modern Family, and he and I had been in touch quite a bit. And he was going to come back and MC our awards and then got that role at Modern Family. So he and I have been talking for a number of years about getting him back, and schedules just aligned.
Sure. It is quite a coup to catch him at this point in his career because he's definitely on the upward arc.
He is.
He's the voice of,
Mr.
Peabody, right?
Exactly.
And what is the name of the movie? I can't remember. Is it? Yikes, we're all stuck
Sherman.
Here. Sherman and Peabody. But yeah, right.
That's okay. the name of the film.
All right, good.
Yeah.
We're talking to Joanne Feinberg and Anne Ashby at the Ashland Independent Film Festival about this year's upcoming attractions. The festival runs April 3 through 7 in Ashland at a couple of different venues. You can call us and ask questions or offer some thoughts about the Ashland Independent Film Festival this year or in years past. Our phone number is here, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Anne Ashby, is the Ashland Independent Film Festival getting a rep in the wider world? Has it gotten past the point where it's like, where's Ashland?
Yeah, we continue to get recognition, which is wonderful, and it really plays out. I'll talk about the specific recognition in a second, but it really plays out when the filmmakers know us. They know us by submitting their films, right? So the submissions are up. And when they are invited, they more and more of them are, you know, decide to come to Ashland. So there's lots of festivals they can attend with their films. And the fact that they're coming here is a real testament to the experience that other filmmakers have had here in Ashland. So it's sort of a wider hospitality ring, if you will. But we were thrilled that we were named a top 25 coolest festival in the world by the voters of Movie Maker Magazine. So this is actually people voting that are reading the magazine, and then the editors of Movie Maker have again selected the festival as one of the top 50 worth the entry fee. So filmmakers do pay a fee typically to enter their films for consideration at a film festival. So to be in that top tier, that it's worth it to pull that those precious dollars out of your pocket and budget to enter to a film festival, that it's a real accolade for us, I think, to hear that.
What does it cost to put this festival on between the rentals of the theaters? I'm sure that's part of it, too, and all the other ancillary costs that come along with putting this on.
Our overall operating budget is around $400,000, and that's a year-round budget. And the majority of that certainly is putting on the festival, but really it doesn't come up in a couple of months. It comes up in a 12-month period, and it's really a year-round activity.
Wow, that is a surprisingly small budget. I would have at least expected something into five figures seven figures.
Yeah.
Here we are at six. Yeah. It is into five figures, yes.
Yes.
$400,000, that is a bit of a shoestring, isn't it?
Yes, and I would add to that's the cash expense, but we get so much support in kind from so many organizations throughout the Valley. We could not do what we do without support from housing providers and restaurants, and the list goes on, theatrical venues. Really, we're very, very fortunate in that regard.
So let's talk about some of the offerings this year, because we've talked about them by number and we've talked about the guests, but what are some of the major films that are coming this year, Joanne Feinberg?
One film I'm really excited about is our opening night film. It's called The Case Against Eight. It just premiered recently at Sundance and won a number of prizes there. And it's a behind-the-scenes look at the historic case to overturn California's ban on same-sex marriage. So it began with the very unlikely alliance with the lead attorneys in the case, Ted Olson and David Boies, who faced off at Bush versus Gore.
Right. It's very interesting that they've ended up working together on this.
It's quite amazing in the film to see those two personalities work together. The filmmakers followed the case for 5 years, so it's a really in-depth but beautifully told story. Follows the two plaintiffs in the case and the effect that this had on their families as well.
When you pick films, are you looking for things that resonate at this moment in history, or is it just a kind of a happy accident that you have all this going on? And this movie is available to you.
Right. I think it's a mix of all of that. I mean, it is a very important case or something that's important to Oregon right now, as that's in the legislation. So it's a happy accident, I think, but something, you know, that the filmmakers have been working towards and hoping will inform the dialogue around this issue.
And in terms of frequency, would a film like The Case Against Eight play several times each
right.
of the days of the festival?
This one is not. It's just playing one time. It's our opening night film in the Armory on Thursday night at 6 p.m. So many of our films do play multiple times over the festival. They play some of them play up to six times, depending on the theater size. So we try and get as many opportunities for the audience to see films. Something like The Case Against Eight is in the Armory, so it's in our biggest theater, so there's more of an opportunity to get tickets to that.
And there are still tickets available for that show.
Are there? Okay.
For that show, yes.
For that show.
For many shows.
Okay. Is there a pretty good sellout ratio, though? I mean, you pretty much fill the seats during all the screenings at all the days of the festival?
We do. You know, it's over 80% of the seats are filled. But that said, there's plenty of tickets still available, and we would love to see people who've never been to the film festival come out. I think most people in this area have heard of it, but not everybody's experienced it. So I think one of the messages we really would love to get out is that tickets are available. It's not a daunting process. It may seem like it from the outside, but we have lovely, friendly people waiting at our box office 4 to 6 Friday through Monday.
Is there an all festival pass? Can you buy one pass that gets you to all the screenings?
There are many levels of passes. And yes, there are passes that allow you to get a film in every single block.
And what do you pay for that?
Well, a director's pass, which includes our parties, is $500. And then to just do the films is $325. And yeah.
Is it possible to actually see all 97 films?
I don't think so.
No, okay.
That is one of the...
You're going to have some conflicts there.
Right,
you have to pick and choose.
It's a challenge to go through the schedule. But there's a lot of really wonderful films in the Armory every year, which is our biggest theater with lots of capacity. And we've made some changes in the Armory that I'll let Anne talk about, but just to increase the comfort and also the projection. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, the Armory is a phenomenal space because it is that big open box that we can turn into a theatrical venue. That's great, but it's also a challenge. So this year what we've done is we've upgraded our projection technology. So we'll be using DCP projection, which is the industry standard. It's the same thing that's used at the Varsity Theater. We've upgraded the sound, so we'll be using 5.1 sound. And we've upgraded the seating. So we feel like we're creating an even better experience for viewing these films and for the comfort of our audience goers who have told us they'd like a little bit more comfort at the Armory. So.
So the Armory, a lot of them at the Varsity Theater and some at Ashland Street Cinemas, too?
Last year was our first year at Ashland Street Cinema, and we're doing that again this year. And we have all of our family program there, which is a really wonderful, about an hour-long collection of short animated films from around the world, as well as some of our launch regional student film competition winners. So kids who've made films in the Rogue Valley in Northern California submit their films, and we choose winners, and those are playing in that program. We also have a wonderful animated feature. It was nominated for an Academy Award called Ernest and Celestine. That will be playing there. And our locals-only programs are playing at the Ashland Street Cinema.
I noticed there are two levels of locals-only programs. There's a family-friendly one and a one that's more for mature audiences.
Exactly. It's always a little bit of a challenge. We get amazing submissions, and to put them all in one program that's appropriate for all ages is a challenge. So this year we just divided them and have two really strong programs of films. And that program, locals-only one, also includes the launch winners. So have a couple of opportunities to see those student films.
And we offer those programs free, the locals program. So you do have to have a ticket to get in, but they're free.
And I noticed, too, when I was looking at the locals, a couple of people I know have submitted films, including I was trying to figure out one name. It's the kid across the street from me. So
exactly.
A film by Jordan Kemper.
Jordan.
All right. I'll be waiting to see that one. What are some of the other highlights? Because we just have a few minutes left here. Some of the other must-see films of this year's Ashland Independent Film Festival.
Well, Rory Kennedy, who had a film here 2 years ago, Ethel, which was a really huge hit with our audience and won the Rogue Creamery Audience Award Prize, is back with her new film, Last Days in Vietnam. She's not back. Unfortunately, she won't be able to be here, but the film will be playing in the Armory. It's just an incredibly moving story about the last days in Vietnam when the U.S. was leaving, and the relationships between the personnel there and the South Vietnamese that remained, and how they tried to evacuate as many people as possible. So that's a really, really strong film. We have a really fun film, Bert's Buzz, which is a profile of the man behind Bert's Bees, and we're really excited about that as well. We have...
Let's talk about Ivory Tower. That one intrigues me.
That is looks at college education at the current time, which is, the costs have just been rising exponentially. And it's a really interesting look at many opportunities that college students have. So it follows one student going to Harvard, as well as students who are going to an alternative program in Arizona, and people that are choosing not to go to college at all. So it's kind of a wide-ranging look at higher education.
Some of the shorts that are here, I guess the movies we mentioned already are as short as 4 minutes, is it right? So they tend to...
Maybe 2 minutes.
Really?
I think
okay.
Our launch program
all
are
right.
2 minutes long.
And do you run all the shorts in a block then? I mean, is that like 1 2-hour block of time that you tend to see all the shorts together?
We have a couple of programs that are collections of short films, but many of these films, the length is just right to be able to add a short with a longer film. So you'll see in the program that we'll have pairings of films together, and usually that's one shorter film and one longer film.
And I'm seeing here that the animation shorts include an Academy Award winner and an Academy Award nominee.
That's right. Mr. Hublot won the award. It's a French film from for Best Animated Short, and that's in our Animated Shorts program. We also have two programs of Oscar-nominated shorts and docs, Oscar Shorts 1 and Oscar Shorts 2. Those are really great programs playing at the Armory. And I'm trying to think, in our short stories, which are narrative shorts, we also have some of the nominees. So lots of opportunities
and
to see.
It's a great way to see these films that otherwise it's really hard to see them on a big screen. They don't get that kind of distribution. So that is one of the hallmarks of our festival, and we love to be able to show these films.
Given that you're at a period in time when people can watch movies on their phones, I mean, is it a little harder to get people to come to a film festival, or is it something? Is it just the festival itself, the concept of festival draws them in?
I think people really still do love the community aspect of seeing films together. It's funny because people see the lines around the block and sometimes get intimidated, but in our survey comments, that's one thing we hear over and over is how much they love waiting in line and talking to other film goers and building that community around seeing a film.
Well, you certainly don't hear that at the airport. People love waiting in line. How far do people travel to the festival? Is that number getting higher over time, the distance?
It's something that we're really actively trying to promote is people coming to travel to Ashland for the festival. But right now, our audience is mostly local.
Okay. You mentioned visiting the box office quickly. Where is the box office for the Ashland Independent Film Festival?
We have two online at ashlandfilm.org. Thanks to Project A and Ashland HomeNet, and down at the kiosk on the plaza from 4 to 6 Friday through Monday.
Okay, Ann Ashby and Joanne Feinberg from the Ashland Independent Film Festival, April 3 through 7. Thanks so much for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Short break, and then back with Garrison Keillor.